We want to give you all an earnest word of welcome to our evening gospel service. We're very thankful for your presence with us. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn 105 as we commence the service this evening. Just to emphasize that all the hymns we'll sing tonight were written by John Newton, as we're going to think a little of the life of John Newton in the service this evening. Keep that in mind as we sing the hymns together. Amazing Grace is generally viewed as John Newton's testimony, but there's a sense in which this hymn 105 could be his testimony as well. In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear. So think of the words as we sing them together. We'll leave out the third verse. We'll sing 1, 2, and then 4 and 5, and we'll stand together to sing, please. Together in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the words that we've been singing together. We thank you for bringing us to the cross. We can say, my soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. We ask, Father, that even in the service tonight, that our hearts will be touched as we think of the Savior's love, the gospel message, the good news of him that loved us and died for us. We acknowledge, Father, we're very familiar with meetings such as this. At times we can be too familiar with the routine and all that takes place. We ask thee, Father, to save us tonight from just going through the motions, going through the routine of another evening gospel service. Save us, Father, from drawing nigh to thee with our lips, while our hearts are far away from thee. We want to pray for the power of God to be upon this meeting. We know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We ask, Father, that that power might be displayed in this service this evening. We thank you for the life of your servant, John Newton, those many years ago. The word of God says that the righteous shall be had an everlasting remembrance. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll bless tonight our consideration of his life, his testimony, his labors. But we want to thank you, Father, for the power of the gospel that was displayed in his life, one that was a slave trader, a slave to the depths of sin himself, but set free by the mighty power of God, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, even the words that we have just sung, those opening lines, in evil long, I took delight, unawed by shame or fear. And Lord, we thank you for the transformation that was made in his life, that mighty transformation. Even as the hymn writer said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Lord, we pray you'll do that in the service tonight. Do it in a member of our family. Do it, Father, we pray, in someone listening in to this gospel meeting through the live stream. We thank you for these means of broadcasting the gospel even all around the earth. But we want to pray, Father, that you'll raise up in our day, raise up in this church, raise up in our city such trophies of grace as John Newton was in his day, how you used his life. And we think, Father, of the influence of his life and testimony that we still feel even to this very day. And Lord, as we think of this being the day of his physical birth, and as we'll think a little of his spiritual birth too, we want to cry, Father, that there'll be some in our midst that will experience that spiritual birth, born again of the Spirit of the living God. We pray, Father, that not just the meeting tonight, but the meetings in this incoming week, that they will be marked by the spiritual birth. We want to pray that little ones will come to Christ. Your word assures us that these little ones can believe in thee. We're not to despise even one of these little ones that believe in thee. So we pray, Father, work on the hearts of the boys and girls. We commit those meetings into your hands. We know, Father, that without thee we can do nothing. We need the Lord to be with us. Lord, we ask that you'll come and prosper our way this week, prosper all that will be involved in those meetings, our brother Chris Killen especially. Oh God, we want to lift him up tonight at the throne of grace. We pray that you'll speak through Chris. We pray you'll keep him in health and strength. Give him journeying mercies as he comes to the services. We pray, Father, that he'll know liberty. We pray that he'll feel at home in the meetings and amongst the children. We pray, Father, that there'll be a good relationship, a good rapport between him and all of the young people that will gather. We pray there'll be a good spirit in the meetings. We pray for the safety, the well-being of all of these young people and all of our workers and labourers too. We pray, Father, most of all, there'll be a good hearing among the children for the word of God. We're conscious of so many things in this evil day that cries out for their attention, that cries out for their hearing and for their minds and for their hearts. And Lord, we would pray that you'll give the children a heart for God, give them a heart for the word of God and for the house of the Lord, give them a desire to be found at the meetings, to come along. We're conscious, Father, of other meetings and activities taking place at this time, and even so many other events that will attract the attention of the children, the young people. But, oh God, we pray, bring them along to this house. Draw them in. We know that you're able to do that by your mighty power. We pray you'll draw in the children, that they might hear the words of eternal life. We pray for next Sunday night as well, the parents' night. Oh God, bring the children along. We know at this holiday time, there's that possibility of many being away for the weekend, away for a break, away to the caravan. The Lord overrule, we pray, in circumstances that will bring many of the parents, the children, in to that special parents' night. We pray that the children will have a burden and a desire to come that will draw the children. Your word says that a little child shall lead them. And Lord, we ask thee to do that. Use the children to lead other family members to this place under the sound of the gospel message. And Lord, we pray for every such effort being made in our own congregations and in every other faithful church and assembly where the word of God will be preached, the gospel will be faithfully set forth. Lord, we pray that you'll prosper the cause of the gospel in our land. Even, Father, at such a time as this, we pray that you'll rid our land of that famine of the hearing. Give to men and women ears to hear those things that the Spirit saith unto the churches. Remember, Father, the families of this congregation, each one with differing needs at this time. And Lord, we pray, draw near. We thank you for the encouragement of your word to our hearts this morning, that they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Thank you for how you provided for your servant Elijah in those very barren times, that time of famine. Lord, what an encouragement that story is to our hearts, to our lives. We pray that you'll challenge us by it. Help us to follow in his footsteps. And Lord, bless our homes and families at this time. Bless every home, we ask, in the things of God. Lord, help us ever to give priority to spiritual things in our lives and among our children. We pray that we'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these things will be added unto us. Oh God, bless our homes with salvation. We pray for a burden tonight for our family members that are not saved, not right with God. We want to pray, Father, touch their hearts tonight and speak to them. We plead of the things of God. We plead that every family in this church would know household salvation. Help us, Father, to see, as never before, how precious a blessing that is, just to know that our children are saved and are right with God. Lord, hear our prayers now. Abide with us through the service this evening. We pray for the guidance of God in this meeting, the guiding hand of God to be known. We pray that you'll give utterance, especially in the ministry tonight. We know that that comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we plead, Father, that the Holy Ghost will come down and descend now upon this gathering. Answer, we ask these our earnest cries. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn together, please. It's a lovely hymn. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Beautiful words. Pray they'll touch our hearts. A fresh type will stand and we'll sing all of the verses of the hymn together, please.
Oh,
We're in Deuteronomy chapter 15, please. The 15th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We're reading together a section in the middle of the chapter. We're beginning at verse 7. Deuteronomy 15, the 7th verse. We'll read together to the end of verse 19. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the 7th year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man, or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the 7th year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hard servant to thee in serving thee 6 years. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. We'll end there tonight, the end of that 18th verse. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing this evening to this, the public reading of his word. We welcome you all to our evening gospel service. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you each one for your presence, your support. May you know the Lord's blessing in your heart tonight. We pray that your heart will be touched, even like those that went to Emmaus. May your heart be warm tonight under the ministry in this house. We want to welcome as well those that are joining us on the live stream. We thank you for taking the time to join this service this evening, and it's our prayer that it might be a blessing to you. We remind you of the a holiday Bible club for the children in this incoming week, Tuesday through to Friday, every night between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. Especially pray for our brother Chris Killen, who will come to take those meetings, that the hand of the Lord will be upon him. Remember, the details are up on the Facebook page. Share those on with your family and friends, or draw their attention to them. Remember the invitations that are in the porch. We encourage you to take those and give them out among your family and friends. Remember that there's the consent form on the back that needs filled out as well. Please give your support to those meetings. Do all that you can to help with them. Especially pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. Just to remind the workers that we generally park out in the back car park during the nights of the Holiday Bible Club, just to leave the front car park spaces free for some of the sports and the activities. So keep that in mind. Remember Wednesday night, the 8 o'clock, the midweek meeting, our prayer meeting and Bible study. We're downstairs in the prayer room, and in the will of the Lord, I'll be speaking of that service myself. We encourage you to come. We appreciate it'll be a busy week, even if you're coming to the meeting a wee bit later because you're involved in some of the activities here. We would appreciate that very much indeed. Next Lord's Day, the final day of this month of July, the 31st, the morning service, 11:30. I'll be speaking at that meeting myself. The evening meeting at 6:30. Remember, that'll be our parents' night for the Holiday Bible Club. And God willing, our brother Chris Killen will be here to speak at that service for us. There's going to be some light refreshments afterwards, covered bars and biscuits and so on. If you can help with any of those or help provide some of those, that would be very much appreciated. Plan to be with us for that parents' night next Sunday night. Make it known. Take the opportunity to invite others to come along to the gospel service as well. Take a look at the table, the literature, the magazines that's there especially. Keep in your prayers those that are overseas involved in missionary work just at this time. Remember the Hamiltons, as they come to an end of their time in Kenya, returning home, God willing, later this week. Dr. Campbell, his wife Caroline, Miss Elizabeth Edwards, as they will be in Uganda up until the 8th of August. Remember Miss McAfee, she will leave on Tuesday to journey home to take up the remainder of the final 2 months of her deputation meetings. Keep in mind the Reverend Kelly's funeral in Kendal in Cumbria on Friday morning. That's in the Power Street Evangelical Church in Kenya. Remember us as we go over to represent the board at that and to bring a short tribute in that service to our brother, the Reverend Kelly, and especially to the labours of Mr. and Mrs. Kelly out there in Uganda. Remind you again of the Loch Earn Convention. It commences next Sabbath evening. This is the 40th anniversary year of the Loch Earn Convention, the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Enniskillen congregation. So it's a very special year, a double anniversary year for the Bethel Church. Remember the little card booklets there in the porch. Please take those, even take a few extra and give them to others. There's a poster as well that gives you the full details of the meetings. The welcome home service for the Boyds, Lyle and Heather, Tuesday the 2nd of August at 8 o'clock over in the Lurgan Church. Keep that in mind. And also the sending forth service for our sister from the congregation here. She'll be returning to the field again in just a little over a couple of weeks' time. So that's on Sunday night the 7th, 2 weeks tonight, 6:30 in the evening. There'll be some of the members of the mission board and so on present for that meeting. The Reverend Harris, the chairman of the board, will be the speaker at the meeting. Just if the members of the committee that are here tonight, if they could wait for a few minutes just at the close of the service, would appreciate that very much indeed. We're going to sing the hymn that John Newton is most remembered for, most famous for, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Twas blind, but now I see. We'll maybe sing together the first three verses and then six and seven. So verses 1 to 3, we'll leave out 4 and 5, and we'll sing 6 and 7 together. Those five, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Just pray again together, please. Seek the Lord's face. Father, we want to pray that the remainder of our time in thy house tonight will be like Mary of Bethany. We pray that we'll sit at the Saviour's feet and we'll hear thy word. We ask thee, Father, to speak to us tonight. We remember the prayer that old Eli directed Samuel to pray, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, that would be the cry of all of our hearts as we come to the word of God this evening. We ask thee to speak in this meeting, speak powerfully, come and speak savingly to hearts, the hearts of men and women, even of some of the children, young people that are gathered with us tonight. And Lord, give us ears to hear. Samuel could say, thy servant heareth. Lord, help us to be attentive. We pray to the word of God. And Lord, our prayer tonight is that you'll come and visit us in this house with salvation. We pray that this place might be a soul-saving shop within a yard of hell. Answer these, our prayers. We offer them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 15, please, and verse 15. It's one of those references that's a little easier to remember, the chapter and the verse. both being the same. Very significant verse for John Newton. There's a series of messages that F.W. Boreham preached whenever he was the minister of the church in Hobart in Tasmania. Life verses. He took the verse from the lives of many famous people. The life, or the verse especially, that changed their life, brought them to Christ. That series ran into five volumes. You can still buy the five books of sermons that he preached. He preached that series alternatively on Sunday nights for quite a period of time. It maybe ran on for 2.5 or 3 years. He preached a theological message 1 week, and he brought one of these biographical messages the next week. So I commend those to you. Look for them. You'll find them of help and blessing. The verse that we come to tonight is John Newton's life verse. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Just to remind you that one of the purposes of messages such as this is to encourage you to read a little further. The Bible says we're to give attendance to reading. It's good to do that. One of the most profitable things that you can do by way of reading as a Christian, next of course to the Bible, is to read Christian biography. They will challenge your heart. They will challenge you to see how the Lord used his servants, blessed their life and labours, despite their weaknesses, despite their own great limitations. Remember the difference between biography and autobiography. A biography is a book that someone else wrote about a certain person. An autobiography is the book that they wrote about themselves, wrote about their own life. So those are very, very profitable. It's good to set yourself maybe to read one every month or thereabouts. It'll be a blessing to your heart. So I encourage you to read a little more about the life of John Newton. I trust this message will do that tonight. The title is Amazing Grace, The Life of John Newton. Remember that Amazing Grace, the hymn that he's best known for, the words that we just sang, but those words sum up his life as well, especially his testimony of God's saving grace. We'll come to his second birth a little later on in the message. But as far as John Newton's first birth was concerned, his physical birth, it took place on this day, the 24th day of July, in the year 1725. So that's 297 years ago this very day. It's significant that it falls on the Lord's Day when we're actually considering his life together. That was the 24th of July in what they called the old style. Remember, there was a change of dates that took place. They wanted to line us up with Europe. They did away with the old Julian calendar and they brought in the Gregorian calendar. That's one of the reasons why, although the Battle of the Boyne was fought on the 1st of July, it's now celebrated on the 12th. Whenever they brought about that alignment, there was 11 days. It took place in the month of September. 11 days that were lost. I don't want to get sidetracked on that tonight. There's a few things that could be said about it. But as far as the actual date, it was the 24th of July in the year 1725. He was born in Wapping, in that area of London. Whenever he died, he was 82 years of age. So the Lord kept his hand upon him and spared him to good old age. And I want for a few minutes to give you some details of his life. If you think first of all of his childhood, John Newton was brought up in a godly home. That is a great blessing. Perhaps when we're growing up in such a home, we don't view it or treat it as such. Let me encourage every parent, every grandparent in the meeting, One of the most important things that you can do in this life is to bring your children, your family, up in the things of God. And that's what John Newton's parents did, his mother especially. He was dedicated to the Lord as an infant. They prayed the Lord would put his hand on him, prayed that from his earliest days. The Lord would take him up and use him. And their prayer and their desire was answered exceeding abundantly above all that they could have asked or even thought. He was their only child, and his mother was like Hannah in the scriptures. She was a woman of prayer. She prayed with the lad. She prayed with him daily. She prayed for him every day that she was here upon this earth. As well as praying for him, she taught him the word of God. She taught him the stories of the scriptures, taught him the great memory texts, memory verses of the word of God. She wanted those to have a lasting influence and impact upon his life. She sought as best she could to fill his mind with scripture and with the truth of the word of God. John Newton's mother died when he was just 6 years of age. He was just 2 months off his 7th birthday when his dear mother was called from this scene of time. One of the greatest griefs, concerns of her deathbed, not that she had any fear of dying or going out into eternity, but there was the great grief and concern that she was leaving her son at such a young age. She died of TB, tuberculosis, what was known in those days as consumption. But I stress to you, men and women, that even though the time his dear mother had with him was very short few years, she left a lasting legacy and a lasting impact upon his life. So what an encouragement, what a challenge that is to each one of us. Whenever John Newton was a child, he was thrown from a horse. And as a result of that, he was nearly killed. He was able to say that the Lord was merciful to him at that very young age. John Bunyan used to speak of mercy preserved him alive. And that was true of John Newton as well on more than one occasion. It certainly was true that day when he was thrown from that horse. God's mercy preserved him alive. That event made a deep impression upon him. He realized that day that he looked death and eternity right in the face. And it made him think of eternal things, made him think about his soul. But he said in later years, when he looked back, he said with great regret that he soon forgot about that impression. He soon forgot about the thoughts he had about eternity. And men and women, let me remind you, that's what the devil wants, especially if you're without Christ. He doesn't want you to think too much. He doesn't want you to think too long about your soul and the danger of your soul if you die without Christ as your Saviour. So that's a little about his childhood. Let me tell you a little about his career. His father was a shipmaster. So John Newton grew up in a home where there was much talk, much influence about the seas, about maritime things. Father was a shipmaster, particularly in the Mediterranean Sea, that's so familiar in this day and age as a holiday destination. John himself went to sea at the young and tender age of just 11 years of age. Nowadays, we would think of children going to secondary school. We never think of them starting into work and employment, or certainly not think of them leaving home. But he went to sea with his father when he was just 11 years of age. His father died about 6 years after that. But before his father died, John had gone on quite a number of lengthy voyages just as a young lad. Another incident when mercy preserved him alive, they wanted to go to sea a battleship known as a man of war. He and some of his friends had arranged to meet together at a certain time. In the providence of God, John Newton was delayed. He was detained that day. He didn't arrive to meet his friends at the appointed time. They waited. They lingered a little while. They got impatient. So they decided that they would go out themselves. The plan was they were going to row out into the bay to see this man of war. So they all boarded into the rowing boat and they were rowing out towards the battleship. And in the event that day, the waves, the little boat that they were in was toppled. It was capsized. And every one of his friends drowned that day in the ocean. John said again, he attended those funeral services. You can imagine the impression. He said he was deeply affected when he thought of those events. Every one of his friends been taken suddenly from this scene of time, and he was spared. Maybe you're able to look back to such a time when you were young, maybe even more recent times, when you know but for the goodness of God, but for the preserving hand of God upon your life, you would have been taken from this scene of time as well. That's something to be deeply thankful for, men and women, that you're still here, still have an opportunity to get right with God. John Newton, he was captured. In those days, they were press ganged into joining the Royal Navy. So that's what happened to him. He was taken captive, press ganged into joining the Navy. He didn't like it, wasn't very happy. He deserted from the Navy. He was caught, and they flogged him. You're going to appreciate in those days the punishment would have been very, very severe. He said when he spoke of that event that he was flogged until the blood ran down his back. After that, he went out to Africa. His reason for going to Africa, it was a wee bit like the prodigal son. Remember, the prodigal son went into the far country. And the prodigal son went to the far country so that he could engage in riotous living. Well, that's exactly the same reason why John Newton went to Africa. These were his own words, that I might be free to sin to my heart's content. He wanted to engage in all the sins and all the pleasures of this world. Whenever he was in Africa, he saw the slave trade. In fact, he got involved himself in the slave trade, a slave trader. He saw all the atrocities. He saw all the wickednesses of the slave trade. And then he was a wee bit like the prodigal down there in the pigsty, eating the swill, the food that the pigs would have eaten. He became a slave of a slave, the slave of an African woman. She delighted in having power and control over John Newton at that stage in his life. And the only food that he had, remember, Lazarus, he ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. She would throw him some crusts from time to time. And that was the only food that he received. He really was challenged. He was deeply troubled when he thought of how far down his life really had come at that particular time. So as you think of him down in the depths, let me tell you a little about his conversion. He was rescued from those circumstances, being a slave of a slave. He was rescued in Africa by a sea captain. His father was deeply concerned about his son. His father asked the sea captain, he knew he was going to Africa, and he asked the sea captain to search for John, and he found him, and that sea captain brought him back from Africa. He brought him back from Africa on a ship that was called the Greyhound, and it was on that ship, on the journey back, that John Newton came to know Christ as his Saviour. Let me tell you the date, the 10th of March, 1748. He was converted while they were at sea in a place that is familiar to us here. There was a great storm that had broken out. They were off the coast of Donegal in West Ireland. in that ship, the Greyhound, at the time that the storm broke out. In fact, the storm was so strong, the waves were so big, the winds were so strong, they thought the ship was about to sink. John was startled out of his sleep by the storm. They were brought out, all hands on deck. He was at the pumps. And as they were seeking to pump the water out of the ship to stop it sinking, these were the words that he uttered. He said, "If this doesn't work, Lord, have mercy on us." Well, he was startled when he thought of what he just said. He was startled by his own words. That was the first thought, the first utterance he had ever made of mercy, perhaps in his own life. He thought to himself, "What mercy can there be for me?" At about 6 o'clock in the evening that day, the 10th of March, they got enough water out of the ship to think that they were going to be safe. They were going to be okay. And he began to pray. He was just 23 years of age. So just think of that. In a ship called the Greyhound, just off the coast of Donegal, at the end of a storm or in the midst of a storm, on the 10th day of March, 1748, John Newton, at 23 years of age, came to know Christ as a Savior. I emphasize the date to you because for the rest of his life, and remember he lived for almost another 60 years after that, for the rest of his life, every year, he marked that date, he marked that day. He remembered it, just as you would remember your birthday. He remembered it as the date of his second birth. He never let that date pass without lifting his heart to God in thanksgiving for his mercy to him. I told you that Deuteronomy 15:15 was his life's verse. This text meant a lot to him. In fact, he had it framed and it hung for years upon the wall of his study. He believed that this verse was a summary of his testimony. Remember, he was a slave trader. He was involved in the slave ships that brought the slaves from Africa. So how relevant the words, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman." But he was thinking beyond the slaves that they were bringing from Africa. He realized that he had been a slave to the worst of sins. He was a slave in the depth of sin. "Wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." Can I ask you tonight in the meeting, as we think of John Newton's conversion, that day that God by his grace broke into his life, can I ask, are you converted? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? As that text, Deuteronomy 15:15 says, "The Lord thy God redeemed thee." Can you say tonight, in the words of the hymn we often sing, "I am redeemed, oh praise the Lord"? Let me tell you something about church. Whenever he was 39, he entered into the gospel ministry. It was the ministry of the Anglican Church. But he was always a good friend of the nonconformists. While he was waiting on a church or waiting on a charge of his own, he preached all over the country, made many friends and contacts, and it gave him a wider influence of ministry in those early years when he was beginning to preach the gospel. His first charge was a little place called Olney in Buckinghamshire. He stayed there for 16 years under his ministry, faithful teaching, exposition of the word, preaching of the gospel. The congregation grew. In fact, it grew so much they had to add a gallery to the church there in Olney. One of those that was converted at that time under his ministry was Thomas Scott. Thomas Scott became the Reverend Thomas Scott. There's Scott's commentary on the whole Bible. Sometimes you'll get Henry and Scott's commentaries published together. Thomas Scott as well was one of the founders of the Church Missionary Society. So he came to Christ through the ministry of John Newton there at Olney. After 16 years, he felt the call of God. He moved, the leading of the Lord, to the city of London, St. Mary Woolnoth, which is found in Lombard Street, and he stayed there for 28 years. In those times, there was really no such thing as a minister retiring or coming to retirement date. They generally continued in the ministry till they were called to higher service. So he stayed at St. Mary Woolnoth in Lombard Street in London for 28 years until his death, until the Lord called him from this scene of time. So his ministry, he was a faithful preacher of the gospel, and the Lord used him in a great way. And I want to challenge you tonight. Remember, we're saved to serve. Are you in the work, seeking to be a soul winner, seeking to use the time, the health, the talents that you have in the Master's service? Let me tell you, fifthly, about John Newton as a composer. Remember, he had a talent for composition of poetry and hymns. John Newton wrote at least 200 hymns. So if you think that this book contains a little over 700 hymns, as well as the Psalms and the paraphrases, that's nearly a third of all the hymns that would be in that book, at least 200. Many of them are still well known and still widely sung. We have sung a few of them tonight. How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, In Evil Long I Took Delight. John Newton also penned Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, Zion City of Our God. But remember, he's especially known for the hymn Amazing Grace. Here's a hymn that's known the world over. In fact, this hymn is the hymn that made John Newton famous. As I emphasized to you earlier, this hymn is his testimony. It sums up his testimony. Just think of those words, Amazing Grace. And God's grace, men and women, is amazing. Remember, grace is God giving to you something that you don't deserve. God wants to give to you tonight salvation, wants to give to you forgiveness. He wants to cleanse you of all of your sins. That is amazing, men and women. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. John Newton wrote those words, he penned that hymn, after pondering the words of Scripture, what Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Just take a moment to think of that, believer, in the meeting tonight. There's nothing else that can describe it or sum it up. It's only by the grace of God that we are what we are tonight in Jesus Christ. But for the grace of God go I, and we often say. It's interesting, we know the hymn is Amazing Grace. The first title that it was given was Faith's Review and Expectation. That's not so well known. Maybe just doesn't sound the same or run off your tongue the same. It was John Newton that said, he's not what he ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I once was. And isn't it great to be able to say that tonight by the grace of God in our own lives? William Cowper, remember, Cowper was a hymn writer. God moves in mysterious ways, and so on, came from the pen of William Cowper. He was a friend of John Newton. It was Newton that persuaded Cowper to come to live in the Olney area at that time. John Newton was a great help and encouragement, support to William Cowper. Remember, Cowper suffered from severe depression. At times he had suicidal thoughts. So John Newton was a great help to William Cowper. In 1779, together, they produced a hymn book. It's called Olney Hymns. You can still see copies of it today. And not Olney Hymns, men like Newton and Charles Wesley and William Cowper, they had a great influence on the singing of hymns in the English churches. There wasn't as many hymns sung in church services before the 18th century. So that's a great part of the legacy of the life of John Newton, the hymns that he penned, that we still enjoy, we still are blessed through today. The sixth thing I'll mention, the campaign. Newton joined Wilberforce in the great campaign in the abolition of slavery. In fact, Newton encouraged William Wilberforce greatly in that campaign. You just think of it, his background, his past. There's few people knew more about slavery as clearly as John Newton did. In 1787, he wrote a tract in support of the abolition of slavery. He called it Thoughts Upon the Slave Trade, and it was greatly used. It informed and influenced many people, especially in the churches across the land at that particular time. It was John Newton who told William Wilberforce to stay in Parliament and serve God where he was. William Wilberforce had doubts about whether he should stay on in the Parliament, remain an MP at that time. So he did so at the encouragement, with the support of John Newton. Newton lived to see the first battle won in the war on slavery in 1807, the year of his death, 215 years ago. The law was passed in this land that to trade or to import slaves was now illegal. So he had a great part in that victory, in that law had been passed. It was another 25 years. It wasn't until 1832 before slavery was completely abolished in this realm, in the nation of Great Britain. So he used his influence for good. Love your neighbour as yourself, the Word of God says. John Newton certainly did that, and he used his position, his influence, to great effect, and he's a challenge, an example to us in that regard as well. Think of his companion. That's his companion for life. Newton met a young lady called Mary Catlett. Whenever he first met her, she was just 13 years of age. John Newton fell in love with her right away. She was what we would describe as his childhood sweetheart. His father frowned upon it. They had an engagement, and for a while, because of his father's displeasure, he was cut off from the home. But his love for Mary was constant. He never ceased to think of her. And 7 years later, when she was just 20 years of age, they were married. That was the year 1850. And together, they enjoyed 40 years of happy married life. It's good to be able to say of Mary, she was a good influence. She was a good spiritual influence upon John Newton. He would have said there was two ladies, two women, that had a great spiritual influence upon his life. I've mentioned them both to you tonight. One was his mother upon his early years, and the other was his dear wife, Mary. A good spiritual influence upon him. That's something to ponder, something to consider. They had no children together, but they adopted two nieces, both from the Catholic side of the family. Two nieces who had both been orphaned young. One was called Elizabeth Cunningham, and the other was called Eliza Catlett. Whenever Mary died in the year 1790, when she was about 60 years of age, John Newton published a little booklet called Letters to a Wife. And in that little booklet, he expressed his grief, his great grief for the loss of his wife, the loss of his companion, and the loss of his great encourager in life and in the gospel ministry. The final thing I'll mention is the conclusion of his life. The Reverend Richard Cecil, he became John Newton's biographer. He saw Newton start to show signs of age when he was getting into the late 70s, passing 80 and so on. He could see the signs of age. He urged John Newton to stop preaching. He said to him, you need to take life a little easier. John was not happy with that suggestion. This was his reply to the Reverend Richard Cecil. He said, shall the old African blasphemer stop while he can still speak at all? He wanted to preach. He wanted to witness. He wanted to tell of the love of Christ to an old sinner like him, right until the journey's end. As he got older, Richard Cecil said he saw the signs of age. Well, as he got older, his sight became poor. His health was failing. His memory was bad. One day he met another famous minister of those times, the Reverend William Jay of Bath. And he said to William Jay, "My powers are failing fast. My memory is almost gone. But there's two things," he said, "that I still remember, and they are these. One is that I am a great sinner. And the other is that Christ is a great Savior." And I want to stress those two truths. There's two things, men and women, we should want to remember right to the end of life. It is that I am a great sinner, but He is a great Savior. And we want to impress those truths upon all in this meeting tonight. You're a great sinner if you're out of Christ, but we want to tell you, we want to point you tonight to one who is a great Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. John Newton's dying words were, "I am still in the land of the dying." And that's the land that we're in, men and women. But he said, "I shall soon be in the land of the living." I wonder, is that your prospect? If you were to die today, die this evening, are you going to the land of the living? He died on the 21st day of December, 1807. That'll be 215 years coming now in December. At 82 years of age, he was buried beside his wife in the graveyard. I've had the privilege of being there in St. Mary Woolnoth, there in Lombard Street in London. For some reason, I haven't been able to find out the details behind it, but for some reason, they were reburied. They took them from London and reburied them in Olney, in Buckinghamshire, where he first ministered, first held a charge as a gospel minister. They did that in the year of 1893. John Newton wrote his own epitaph, what was to be inscribed upon his headstone, and he directed very clearly and strongly that no other epitaph was to be erected over his grave. And the words of his epitaph were these. He said, "John Newton, Clark, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so long labored to destroy." So what an epitaph that is. I tell you this in closing. John Newton said, whenever he got to heaven, there would be three surprises. One would be, there were many there I did not expect to see in heaven. The second surprise was, there would be those not there that he did expect to see in heaven. But he said, the greatest surprise of all is that I would be there myself, of course, by the amazing grace of God. And as you think of that, men and women, I want to ask you, will you be there? Will you be in heaven when your life is over? Will you go to the land that is fairer than day? Remember that you need to be saved if that's going to be the case. You can only go to heaven if you're saved by God's grace, that amazing grace of which John Newton wrote and of which we sing. Will you come tonight and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let me finish again with his life's verse. "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." 627, again, words of John Newton's. "Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there." 627, we'll sing all of the verses and we'll stand to sing, please. Thank you. We'll bow together just in prayer. Just remind the committee, if they could wait, I'll go down to the door just quickly for a few minutes to shake hands with those that are leaving and then meet with the committee after. Thank you, Father, for our meeting tonight. We thank you for all that has been said. We thank you for the greatness of your grace towards us. Lord, we can say tonight in this meeting that it's by the grace of God that we are what we are. We thank you for your grace that has been manifested in our lives and in the lives of many in this meeting and in our families too. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and it will be grace that will lead us home. We pray, Father, that your grace will be known again in this service. We want to pray that hearts will be touched and spoken to. We want to give ourselves into your hands for this week, for all that each of us have to do. Guide our footsteps. Fill us tonight with your Spirit. Lord, may we live and walk in the Spirit of God this week. We ask that our lives will speak and stand out for Christ. And Lord, help us to be laborers together in the various departments of this church and in the great cause of the gospel. Help us to do what we can to exalt Christ and bring others to the Savior. Answer these our prayers. Spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's love the boat, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.